privilege and honor to welcome the man of God to come and bring the word of the Lord. Remember, we said we are going to start our service at 11, and I'm really grateful for every one of you who are making an effort towards that direction. Let me tell you, as you do that, you're not doing it to any man, but you're doing it unto the Lord. Amen. When you come here at 11 or before, you can come, get into the house, begin to pray, declare this atmosphere to be holy. Ask God to raise you. If you can wake up Monday through Friday early in the morning to go to work, I believe you can do that on Sunday. Is that not so? Amen? Can somebody say a big amen? Amen. Amen. Is that not the truth? That's the truth, right? If we can wake up Monday through, and I'm not, by the way, stepping into anybody's toes. I know we are tired and everything, but think about this. What is more important than what is more important than what we do naturally? Is it not just to come into the house of the Lord and just worship Him? The Bible says that one day in the courts of the Lord is what? It's better than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen? So my hunger and my desire is that for us to be coming here even early, even before 11. And when you get into this house, just begin to declare the atmosphere. Declare, you know, cleanse the atmosphere. Bind the forces of the devil in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I told you that we are involved in a spiritual conflict, whether you know it or not. Every Christian is involved in a spiritual conflict. And we are the militia in the army of the Lord. Amen. Turn to somebody, tell them, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Come on, tell them like you mean it. Tell them I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. We are involved in a conflict. And you know the devil is conducting some covert operations in the wicked places. You know, secretly, sending demons and agents. And there are assignments that are mooted from the kingdom of the devil constantly. They are really being unleashed to come and demoralize the children of God. So we have to be aware of the devices of the enemy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We are going to hear the word of the Lord real quick. I'm going to call our Pastor Julius Chilundika to come and bring the word of the Lord real quick. Can you welcome him with a hand clap, please? And I can see we have very special guests from that we have not seen for a while, but we want to hear the word of the Lord, and we'll give you an opportunity to come and greet you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Amen. How many have spoken to the people from Nigeria? Whenever you talk to them, you give them something, always they say, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And I'm like, oh, man. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know this year, I don't care what the devil thinks or feels about me. I know that we are in for it. Amen. We are in for it because I know God is going to bless us, whether the devil likes it or not. Hallelujah. And I know he's under my feet. He's going to always be under my feet. And I know even today I can say the truth that the devil is a liar. I mean, he's been from the beginning. There is nothing truth that has ever come out of his mouth. When he opens his mouth, all comes out are lies. Because he's the concoctor, he's the father of all lies. Amen. And I like to say, you know, or quote someone who said, look, if the devil comes to me even today, looks at the time there and he say, it's about 12:12. Even if it's 12:12, because it's coming from the mouth of the devil, I will not believe it. Even if I'm seeing it. Because I know you can't tell the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's a bit hard today. Amen. It's mucho caliente. It's not frio with me. It's caliente, caliente. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just feel good. Look, let me do what the pastor always do in this church. Can we come and feel these front chairs or pews, whatever you call them? I want to look straight in your eyes. And let me assure you this morning. I'm not scared of you. Don't be scared of me. Amen. We love one another. Let's just come in front, fill these chairs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, Pastor Tony, I love Jesus. I just love him. My Lord, I love him. Hallelujah. I love him. I love him. Just move. Just move. We're not going to eat one another. We love one another. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, let me kill this rabbit before we start to preach. Hallelujah. You know, there is a scripture which has been going on through my mind. I was looking for it, but this morning somehow it pops out. You know, it's in Revelation, and it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. And I know most of the time when we talk about the testimony, what comes into our, which is true, is when I come in front and talk about what the Lord has done for me, the good things that has happened in my life, then we think we are testifying for the Lord. Amen. Then we think we are testifying for the Lord. But no, when I was thinking about it, testimony which overcomes the enemy, it's more than just words. It's more than the good thing that has happened in our lives. I mean, it's more than... Look, the clothes that God has blessed me with, it's more than that. I was thinking about it, and the Lord helped me. I think this is true. You know, the testimony here, when the Bible talks about this testimony which overcomes the devil, I believe with all my heart, it's connected to what people think about you. Amen. It's connected to what people talk when they see you. What do they talk about you? It's connected, I believe, with all my heart to that which you do, and it represents Jesus Christ. Amen. When people look at you, when they see you, what are they going to say about you? My Lord. What are they going to say? Or what are they going to feel when they see you? Are they going to smile because you are going their way? Or are they going to run away from you? Are people going to say that, oh, this man, wherever, or this woman, whenever I am with him or whenever I am with her, I'm going to be uplifted? Are they going to say that whenever I'm in his presence, I know that I'll be drawn closer to the Lord? This person is not going to draw me closer to the enemy, but he's going to draw me closer to the Lord. That's the testimony that overcomes the enemy. My Lord. Are people going to think whenever they see you and they are hungry, whenever they say, oh man, this guy coming, we know we're going to be fed. Whenever they are thirsty and they see you, are they going to be able to say that when he comes, man, we're no longer going to be thirsty? Listen, that's the testimony which overcame the devil. And I said I just wanted to kill this rabbit and get it out of the way. I felt strongly upon my heart. If you're going to live like this, if you're going to live as a true testimony of the Lord Jesus, if you're going to represent him in truth, you're going to overcome this year. And you know what? It's a choice. No one is going to make you that. You have to decide. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I was connecting it to, you know, when Joshua is standing before the children of Israel. And he said, look, I want for us to decide. I mean, I am tired of this murmuring all the time. I'm tired of everybody saying, oh, you are like that, you are like that. But I want for you today to choose whether to be with the Lord or not. But I and my house have chosen one thing. We shall serve the Lord. It's a choice he made. No one decided for him. Moses is standing, he said, look, you must choose between what is good and evil, but I would rather you choose what is. It's a choice. No one is going to make you to do that. No matter how we preach, we can even preach our lungs out. If you're not decided to change, you're not going to change. That's why I always say, you know, from the time I came to know the Lord, I know that following him is a personal choice. And I know not even my wife, I mean as much as she loves me and she loves the Lord, can make me, you know what, to decide to follow him. It's a personal choice. I look at Paul. You know, Paul doesn't say like the Jesus who was revealed to me. He says the Jesus who's revealed in me. It's a personal issue. Hallelujah. We love him. Amen. I love him. Thank you. I want, you know what? This year is a year to overcome. I'm getting tired, you know? I'm getting tired of being called a Christian when I'm not living like him. I'm tired, you know, of living an hypocritical life where people come and they say, oh, he can preach real good, but I do not even live by what I preach. I want for God to help me. I want to overcome him. I want to overcome the enemy. I want to put him where he belongs, under my feet. My Lord, he's taken advantage of God's people, but I refuse that he may do that to me. This year, look, is a personal declaration, and I decree, I and my family, I and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I and my house, we will overcome whether the devil likes it or not. Because I know in whom we believe. I know he can make me to cross over. I know he will make me to go yonder because he said we are going yonder. My Lord, we're not going to be just going around this mountain, Pastor. All around we go, we are at the same. You know what? I desire, and what I'm longing for is for somebody to see him through me. I don't just want to say I'm Christ-like when I don't live like him. The Bible says we are the ones who even make his name to be blasphemed. You know why? Because we are attached to his name, but we do not live like him. Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. Can we stand, look to the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, Father. We give you the glory and all the honor, Lord. It's all dear unto you. Lord, I thank you that you've even given us this privilege today to come and meet as brothers and sisters. And Father, I'm praying today that may your will be done. I'm praying, Lord, acknowledging that without you, there is nothing I can do. Without you, Lord, even when I speak to your children, nothing is going to happen. So I pray, Father God, by your mercy, can you envelop my life today? Lord, speak through me. Beyond my voice, cause your people to hear your voice. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody say amen this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, we're going to start to read from, we'll read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, going down. I would rather we read the whole chapter, but time is not going to allow. We will just pick some things, God willing. Hallelujah. The Bible from verse 1 reads, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what has been bothering me is this thing, and I'm going to talk about it today. I just feel like talking about guilt conscious. You know, guilty. Because guilty, you know what guilt does. Guilty will paralyze you. You know what guilt does? Guilty is going to make you weak. I just declared I'm going to overcome. Amen. This year is the year of overcoming. You know, once you walk in guilty, there is no way you're going to win. Hallelujah. If you are guilty, look, you'll be the weakest person of all. Look, because we are fighting an enemy who is called the accuser of the brethren. That's the enemy. The enemy we are fighting is the one who would love for you to always walk as a guilty person. As a person who is not free. And once he does that to you, he's going to put you on a leash. Because he will drag you wherever he wants for you to go. You are guilty. There is something you are owing him. You are guilty because you know that, look, this guy knows what I did yesterday. He knows what I did even if my pastor do not know. He knows. When he causes you to do it, and then he's begins to condemn you. So that you walk a life of guilty. How we want to overcome. Amen. If we want to overcome this year, let's deal with guilty. And begin to walk as people who've been sanctified. As people who are the children of God. As the people who associate themselves with righteousness and not sin. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. What is guilt conscious? You know, I read from an English dictionary. It's not biblical, but it will make sense to us. It says, guilt conscious is an inner sense of what is right or wrong in one's conduct or motive. That's guilt conscious. I'll repeat. It says, guilt conscious is an inner sense. You know, an inner sense of what is right or wrong in one's conduct or motive that impels one towards right action to follow the dictates or dictates of conscience. The word impels there is the same as drive or force, you know. That's what guilt does. You know, when you are guilty, you are even better off. Because, you know, when you are guilty, you know I've done something wrong. When you are guilty, you know that, hey, I gotta find something for me to get out of this quagmire. In a sense, guilty helps us at times if you make a good choice. Hallelujah. 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 Look, he goes on to say, this has more to do with the bitter feelings that one have when they do something wrong. That's what guilt does to us. You know, you do not feel good when you are guilty of something you did. You don't. And you know, when I started to preach, people were saying, what is he trying to say? Look, guilty can help you if you decide to be helped. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look, and then I wrote myself. Look, what makes someone guilty is not always what they do intentionally. It's not always what we do because we wanted to do it. What makes somebody guilty? Look, even as a child of God, at times it's because of pressure in life. What makes someone guilty? Listen to me carefully. It's because at times we are desperate. I mean, I want that for me to get out. I want to do A, B, C, D for me to, you know, look, I'm suffering here. Everybody is laughing at me. They've made me a joke. And I want to get out of this. But look, that's not the way it happens. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Bible says they will mount out with wings as eagles. It says when they run, they will not grow weary. Even when they walk, they will not faint. But you know what it says? In this race we are engaged in, even the youth faints. Mamma mia. It's a spiritual battle. It's not a battle for the macho men. Oh, I'm always in the gym. You know, I exercise, I lift those weights, I can overcome. No, 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 no. This battle, the Bible says, the war which we fight, look, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage after flesh. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He says they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down all imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of the Almighty God. Oh my God and my God, we are in the battle, but listen, we are winning too. My Lord Jesus, we are winning. Look, we are on the winning side. Because God has given us the weapons, which are not carnal. Oh, my Lord. In fact, the scripture we read here, look. In 1 John, he said, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have who? An advocate. In who? In Jesus Christ. Do you know the one who overcame? Jesus did it. And because he did it, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Through Christ Jesus who loves us. We have an advocate. I was looking also into the dictionary and I'm like, God, I need to know something. Who is an advocate? An advocate is someone who pleads for another person. Oh my God, the Bible says he's our high priest. He's the one who's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. It's in Hebrews, Pastor. When you are going through, listen to me, you are not going through it alone. There is somebody attached to it. All you need to do is get closer to him. In fact, the Bible says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. All we need is to get close to him. The one who knows how to conquer. The one who knows how to overcome. My Lord Jesus. Listen, he's not going to fail you. He cannot fail you. I stand here with all confidence declaring Jesus cannot fail anybody. My Lord Jesus, he cannot. I've known him for too long. No one who's the child of God, no one who decides to draw closer to him will ever be disappointed. My Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, he will not fail you. He won't. My God and my God. You're saying it's too hard, Pastor. You just don't know. You don't know. This thing is painful. You don't understand. I've cried to this Jesus. Nights and days. I've called upon him in the wee hours of the morning. I've done everything man could have done, but he's still with me. Listen, you're not the only one who's been through it. Paul, a man who has written 3/4 of the New Testament Bible. I mean, the man who would come and testify to you that I've been there. I've been there. I've even entered the third heaven. What I had seen there, I can't even explain to you. Paul, I mean, who saw miracles after miracles in his ministry. I mean, he saw the dead being raised. I mean, Paul healed the sick. The leprous left. But look what he says. He stood, he said, Lord, I have something which bothers me. Oh, yes, I have something which bothers me. I've cried to you. I've done everything. Look, I have saved you. I'm still saving you. But this thing bothers me. Can you take it out? You know what the Lord said? Look, I'm not going to take it out. I'm not going to take it out. I will not remove it. But I just want to assure you that my grace is sufficient for you. You know what? To each and everyone, even in this place, you know, the grace of God is sufficient for us. As a child of God, don't you ever think that God has left you alone. It may hurt. That pain can even go to an extent of being excruciating, but it doesn't mean he has left you. No, no, no. He's with you. Because he has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, Lo, I will be with you too. My Lord Jesus. All we've got to do, even when we go through, just trust him. You know, do his word. Strive to walk his word. Amen. Amen. Do it, people of God. He's never going to disappoint you. And I'll say this more and more so that it sinks into somebody's heart. My Lord Jesus. Somebody says, you know, all you need is his grace. You know, the grace he gives us. In fact, Greek word says charis. You know, charis. That's the power for you and me to use to overcome. That's the power. My Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We have an advocate. And you know, this advocate is not just talking from without. He's been through it. That's why Hebrews calls him an high priest who's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's been there. The Bible says he was wounded because of what? Our transgressions. Bruised because of what? Our iniquities. But the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. If you read that in Isaiah 59, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, I like the way it describes him. Because he says, you know, it calls Jesus a man of sorrow, a man of many sorrows. It says, look, the way Jesus was brought up, it was like a tender plant coming out of a hard ground. To some of you who've done agriculture, you understand. If you put a seed in the ground, the first thing you think about is you gotta at least, you know, make the soil, you know, put some mulch there. You don't put a seed under clay soil because clay soil becomes hard. But the Bible says that's how Jesus grew up. It's like, you know, imagine clay soil and then there's just a little crack there. That's where the seed starts to come out. It says he grew up like that. He says, you know, despite all that he had done for us, we did not even esteem him. Hallelujah. Now, how many here stops to do good because people are not appreciating you? Let's be honest. How many stops to do good today because people did not thank you? Everything we do, we want for someone to come and pat us, pat our back and say, well done. I mean, everything we need to be praised by men. But look, the Bible says, Jesus, despite all he did to us, we don't even esteem him. But did he stop? He went on to fulfill what the Father had sent him to fulfill. My Lord Jesus. You know, reading, he says, you know what? He was tempted in all ways, but he never succumbed. Amen. And because of that, you know what the Bible says? He was given a name that is above all names. It says, at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of the things in the heavens, things on the earth, things underneath the earth. The Bible says, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. My Lord Jesus. Oh, I quoted a scripture sometime and he said, even if he was a child of God, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. So in Hebrews, I love Hebrews. My Lord Jesus, I pray today somebody's being helped here. Hallelujah. We have an advocate. Amen. He's been what you're going through. There is no pain you're going to experience that is never experienced. There is no insult that's going to be leveled at you that he was never insulted of. My Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's going to be hard. Amen. Can I tell a story? Because I want someone here at least to be delivered. You know, stories at times help. My Lord Jesus. And the story goes like this. You know, there was this huge hotel, you know. And this hotel, there was a cook or chef. You call them chef, huh? And this chef had an assistant chef. Now, you better understand what happens where we come from. Some of us, let me tell you, that we grew up. No, even if we look like this, we grew up eating skumawiki all the times. I mean, we grew up eating vegetables. I don't know with you, Pastor Tony. There was no me at times I ate shima or ugali, you know. With vegetables, just greens. My Lord Jesus. And I understand that. And there was only one day, maybe even in a year, to tell you that when you were sure that you were going to eat at least chicken. Oh yeah, they are talking now. One day you know at least I'm going to get ready for that chicken. That was the day when Mother Chicken cried. Oh, because he knew he was going to lose many of his children. And it happened, you know, this young man working with this chief chef. And every week, you know, hotels, they used to deliver chicken. Now look, you are there cooking. At least as a cook, you can eat something. But then this young chef, you know, he loved his children very much. But the truth, he couldn't afford just one chicken to take to his family. Whenever he goes to work, he will eat chicken. When he eats chicken, you know, he became guilty. How about my family? I don't know with you. There are times I know there isn't nothing home and my children are there and I'm going. Somebody comes and says, hey man, can I buy you some beggar? At times I'll just say, no, I'm full. You know why I say that? I don't want to be guilty. I'm going home, maybe crumbs of beggar dropped on my shirt. How am I going to encourage my children? Oh, amen, it shall be well, amen. Let's just believe. You know what I mean? Let's just do, it will be well. But when JJ is looking at you, there is a crumbs of bacon on the shirt. You'll be like, this man, I mean, I know he was eating something. What is he trying to say? And look, that's what this young chef went through. And you know, the chief chef, he was in charge. He could take chicken, you know. In fact, he got chicken every time they delivered chicken. He went behind, packed the chicken, takes it home. But it happened like, 2 days before Christmas. This young man, he said, man, it's been a long time since my family ate chicken. I don't care. You know, that's pressure building. I don't care what is going to happen. Today, I'm going to steal one chicken. And you know, the car, you know, that truck which was delivering chicken showed up, you know. He looked, the chief chef was not there. He looked, nobody was seeing. He got only one chicken. Listen, what he was doing, it was good. It's for his family, but the way he was doing it wasn't right. Because of pressure, you know. This he was desperate. He wanted at least for some one time for his wife say, you know, honey, I love you for what you did today. We ate this chicken. He wanted to hear those words. But because of the way things worked out, he never heard that. This day he stole the chicken, put it in his white coat, Pastor. But what he didn't know was, when he stole that chicken, the chief chef was by the corner watching him, takes the chicken, and he never said anything. The guy took the chicken, went home, gave it to the family. Even the wife was surprised. What has happened today? How much did you get from work? You coming with chicken? Just cook, man. God can provide. My Lord Jesus. The wife, you know, did that. And they cooked. And another day came. He went to work. When he just entered the hotel, he found a note that from the shelf. You know, he's croaking in. And he finds the note of the shelf saying, I want, before you start to work, I want to see you in my office. The young man, you know, knew what he did. You know, scared, he went in the office of the chief chef. And the chief chef looks at him. He says, you know, I saw what you did last night. I saw that you had stolen a chicken. The young man, you know, scared of losing his job. Yes, I did that. But you know, my family, he started to give an excuse like the excuses we give today whenever we do something. But you know, God will understand. You know, I was hungry, that's why I stole. God will understand. I was so desperate, that's why I went and did ABC, so that I can be just like anybody else. So that, you know, you... Things like that, he did that, and you know what the chef said? You know what? I'm not going to fire you. Or am I going to tell the manager of the hotel? But I just want for you to do one thing for me. Whenever I take off, I'm not going to be signing there. Whenever I want to leave work. Now you gotta know these two, they were two shifts. The assistant chef worked at night. I mean, in the morning and he worked at night and the chief chef worked in the morning. So he said, you know what? You are just getting off work. But I don't want for you to go. I want for you to cover me. Work for me. Now, he's worked all night. In the morning when he's about to go, the chef said, no, you are not going. Work for me. I just want to go visit my family. The young man knows he stole a chicken. What can you do? You know? All he did, yeah, is to sit, you know. He just said, okay, I will stay. He goes, you know. I'm coming to a party which was good. He goes, do whatever you want. Night came. He never even showed up home. Continued to work for his shift. And this thing went on just like that. This young man will go to the chief, please, I'm tired. Look the way I've been working. And you know what he says? Remember the chicken. Whenever he wanted to do something, he's like, remember the chicken. Until, you know, one time this boy said, if I continue to work that like this, you know, you can die. I'm just tired. I'm also going to play this chief chef. Oh, my God. Early in the morning when he woke up, you know what he did? He checked the chef. Before he showed up, he went to the senior manager. He said, sir, I want to see you. And the senior manager said, why do you want to see me? I've never seen you in my office. Oh, I know you are here. No, I got something bothering me, which I want for you to help. Whatever decision you're going to make is up to you. But I just came to confess that on this and this day, I stole a chicken. And the chicken I stole has been costing me. The senior manager looked at him and said, it's been costing me. I haven't been going home. I'm always working for this chief chef all the time. This man looked at him and said, come, young man. You know, you've been truthful. And because you've been truthful, I'm going to do something great for you. Because I know that there is a lot that goes on in this hotel. In fact, even the chief chef who's put you through this is the one I know. You know, the cameras shows. He always steals chicken. And he's never come and confessed. And because you've done this, what I'm going to do, I'll fire the senior chef and put you there. You are promoted today because of your truthfulness. And the young man was so excited, he almost went there and hugged the senior manager. But because he was dirty from, you know, cooking, he was smearing the chicken, which he was not even enjoy. He went to, he knelt before the manager there. I mean, he was so excited. And when he was just about to go out, check in the office of the chief chef, there he was. The boy wants to go and say, hey, come here. You know what? Even today, I want for you to cover me because I'm going. The boy looks at him this day, he laughed, he smiles at him. He said, what do you mean, sir? Yeah, I want for you to work for me. I'm going to work for you. Do whatever you want. Today is over. My problem has been solved. I don't even care to lose the job. My Lord Jesus. Oh, when he said that, he said, okay, you do that, I'm going to go. And now I will take it to the upper management. I will go report you. The boy is like, go ahead. Go ahead. And he's trying to scare him. He's going towards the senior manager's office. And the boy said, look, sir, don't waste your time. I've been into that office. And guess what? I've been forgiven. Not only forgiven, I've even taken your job. Oh, my Lord. You know what truthful can do? That's what the Bible says. It says if you stand today and say, no, I have no sin. You know what? The Bible says you are a liar. And you are making God to be a liar. We read scripture, the truth of God is not within you. But if you confess your sins, the Bible says he is just and faithful. He will forgive you of your sins and he will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Oh, let him, don't let the devil to be reminding you of that chicken you stole one day. My Lord, you ate the chicken, you were desperate. But today you can decide and say, no more, no more devil. You're not going to hold me accountable because I stole one. I'm stopping because I've told the master. I've been honest before him. I have confessed my sins. Look, I have repented. I've turned around. Whether there will be chicken or no chicken, I'm going to stand tall. My Lord Jesus, you may be there struggling because of what you did yesterday. My Lord, his blood is still doing the same. Oh, it washes whiter than snow. Even the Bible says when he forgives you, you know, he forgets. Your sins will be buried in the sea of forgetfulness. My Lord Jesus, he said, yeah, we need to overcome. And only the Bible says, you know, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by what our advocate has done. We overcame the devil by the word of our testimony. Today we just have to say no to everything. I want for somebody when they mention me, they connect me to Jesus. I want for somebody when they say my name, they say that we know he's been working with him. My Lord Jesus. Oh, devil, to hell with your chicken. My Lord. Oh, my God, to hell with whatever you want. But as for me and my house, whether we eat sukuma wiki, look, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that the problem we have, Pastor, is every time you think, just because I'm eating well doesn't make me a Christian. There are people out there. They are eating sukuma wiki, but they are more closer to the Lord than that one. You think because they bought meat the other day in Walmart and you saw them, and you think the favor of the Lord is upon them. No, 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 no. Look, you go home, you find sukuma wiki. Eat and do it with thanksgiving unto the Lord. My Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You are driving that under. Look, drive it with thanksgiving unto the Lord. My Lord, you living in an apartment of one room. Listen, doesn't mean God has forgotten. As long as you're walking with him. Let me put this word ahead. He's just setting you up. Oh my, if you are faithful in the little, he will entrust you with much. In the name of Jesus, let's stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, wonderful God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, we love you. We love you, Lord, we love you, we love you. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song and I'm going to close like that. I want for you to go think about what I've said this morning. Hallelujah. Can I tell one final joke? We are laughing with it. This is a joke I heard. I told this joke. I know men were like, what is he saying? Look, there were two people. I just said this joke. Two people, one a giant who is in America, illegal. And there is a small young boy who's also in America, legally. You know, we've been there. You know that. This young man knows the secret of that giant. One day it happened, this young man went and stepped on the toes of the giant. And the giant was like, how can you do this to me? I'm going to strangle you. Today, I'm going to kill you. You know how big people comes and he's going, trying to beat this young man. But you know what he says? He says, you go ahead, beat me. If you know you have pepper, beat me. Go ahead, beat me. If you have pepper, beat me. You know what? We are in this world. I was thinking about whether you like. You know what the Bible says? It says wherever your feet shall tread, that land is being given to you. Amen. The Bible says, ask of me, I'll give you nations as an inheritance, my children. The ends of the earth for your position. It doesn't matter where you are. We are in this world legally. You know, we were put in this world by the one who created it. We have the permission to live wherever we want. You know the one who's illegal in this world? It's the devil who's illegal. So you speak to him, tell him, if you have pepper, come, attack me. If you have pepper, you come and attack me. This is my father's land. Amen. Oh, I'm going to overcome. This year is mine. Don't look at my struggles and think I'll always be there. I'm coming out, and I'm coming out in style. My Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm coming out, and I'm coming out in style. Did you hear what I said? Oh, Pastor Francis, it will be so. I'm coming out, and I'm coming out in style. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And I can go on, Pastor. I feel good in my spirit. Just take it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. When the devil reminds you of the chicken, what a wonderful, wonderful, give him this, remind him of where he belongs. Amen. We thank God for that message. It reminds us what God thinks about us and that God is ready to forgive us at any instance. Praise the Lord. When he reminds you of the things that you did, Jesus is waiting for the cry of anyone who calls upon him to ask for forgiveness. And he's ready to forgive us and push us to the next level. Amen. Can you sit down just briefly so that we can have our announcements? Thank you.